Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to the Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This week, we'll be speaking with anti-war and social justice activist, writer, and researcher, Allison Bodine. Allison particularly is well-informed about what is going on in Venezuela, current events, and trends in Latin America. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Allison Bodine. Allison Bodine, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you. Very happy to be here with you this morning, Cindy.
Well, thank you. You're what I consider my house expert on what's happening in Venezuela, and Venezuela and what's going on, and the people of Venezuela are something that's very important to me, and I think it should be important to everybody because it's kind of a microcosm of what's happening around the world, but it's also something that we who consider ourselves revolutionary socialists in the United States, we can like look at Venezuela, especially the early, the beginnings of the Bolivarian Revolution, and be inspired by the energy and the love of Hugo Chavez, the former president who passed away, the love of him for his people and for the history and the culture and the country of Venezuela, and then in return, the energy and love of the people towards him. So I just really love Venezuela, but I hate what the U.S. and the U.S.-sponsored Organization of American States is doing to the people of Venezuela.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Cindy. That's a lot why I am been inspired by Venezuela. We're now in the 19th year, actually, of the Bolivarian Revolution.
Amazing.
It's really been an incredible change for poor, working, and oppressed people in Venezuela. But that inspiration, that the way that the Venezuelan Bolivarian Revolution has really joined with other countries across Latin America and the Caribbean, with revolutionary Cuba and then other countries joining on, I think that's really the motivation for these U.S.-sponsored threats against Venezuela, for the United States' attempts to destabilize the country, to overthrow President Nicolas Maduro today, is really to try and isolate that influence that revolutionary Venezuela's had on so many millions of people. And I think that's the crux of what we're talking about when we talk about reasons for U.S. Intervention in Venezuela.
Well, poor Nicolas Maduro, I mean, he really stepped into huge shoes. He had enormous shoes to fill from Chavez, who was beloved and who did have incredible energy to fulfill the wishes of the Venezuelan people, because the Venezuelan Constitution was written by the people, and the only way it can be amended is by the people. So Maduro had these enormous shoes to fill, and he really has been embattled from within and without, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's years of an economic war that really the United States and the capitalist class in Venezuela saw the fall in oil prices, which was dramatic, as we know and have all noticed, as the opportunity to really increase their attacks and begin using the economy to try and convince the people of Venezuela to overthrow their government and reverse the gains of the Bolivarian Revolution. So the economic war that President Nicolas Maduro and the United Socialist Party of Venezuela and all the mechanisms of the Bolivarian Revolution have been fighting against has manifested itself through hoarding by Venezuela's major corporations. I mean, one thing the mainstream media is constantly leaving out is that when they talk about shortages in Venezuela, they don't recognize that it's actually the counter-revolutionary opposition and the capitalist class in Venezuela that controls most of the production and distribution of food and basic items in Venezuela. So they'll talk about the shortage of corn flour in Venezuela, but not recognize that the companies that produce that have actually reduced their production and have been found to be hoarding massive amounts of this basic foodstuff in order to try and essentially starve the people of Venezuela. There's many reports that you can read online about, you know, in the rich areas of Venezuela, you can go and find all the corn flour, cheese, milk, whatever you would like, when they have people standing in long lines outside of government-sponsored grocery stores or just your store down the street waiting for these basic goods. So there's been hoarding, there's been price gouging, there's also a major issue of the fact that in Venezuela, one of the big gains of the Bolivarian Revolution was to make these basic goods affordable to people. And so the prices went down on the shelves. But people are buying these subsidized goods, smuggling them into Colombia and selling them at hundreds of times the price that they sell for in Venezuela. So people are making massive amounts of money off of the backs of the people of Venezuela. So there's this economic war, like I said, that is taking advantage of the drop in oil prices in order to try and further strangle the Venezuelan economy. And then the United States, at the same time, in conjunction, has few years ago, 2015, and again in 2016, both under U.S. President Barack Obama, declared Venezuela to be an extraordinary threat to the national security of the United States.
That's so crazy. Just on the face value of it, it's just lunacy.
Thousands of miles away. Caracas is something like 3,000 miles away from Washington, D.C. The U.S. military is, of course, stationed right off the coast of Venezuela. And yet, somehow, Venezuela and the people, the 30 million people there, are a threat to the United States. The real impact of this has been that it's allowed the U.S. Congress to increase their sanctions against Venezuela because the country has been given this status through an executive order. And then it has also really, the moves of the U.S. like this scare away international creditors. So Venezuela is going through a crisis. They've experienced a lack of revenue due to the drop in oil prices, something that many countries around the world may experience. And they've also at the same time been cut off from international funding to help them get through the crisis by the U.S. government, essentially. So that's been another leg of the economic war against the people. And then I would say also what Maduro has been facing as president of Venezuela is also really just constant U.S. threats, especially in the last, since we'll say February, the last few months. There was a letter written by U.S. Congress people, some of the most notorious, definitely, including Ted Cruz, Ileana Ross Lathan, people that forever have been fighting against the Cuban Revolution. Right. 34 members of U.S. Congress signed a letter in February, essentially calling on the U.S. government to do more to sanction and to put international pressure on Venezuela to change their system. They framed it, of course, in terms of human rights, democracy, but these terms, whether we look at Libya or Syria or Iraq or even the U.S.'s own history in Latin America, is not what the U.S. is concerned about.
Well, speaking of the U.S. Congress, I knew I didn't like Bernie Sanders before, but when he called Chavez a dead communist dictator. That was like the red line in the sand for me. I knew I could never support anybody who claimed to be a socialist, but who denounced in the most vicious and inflammatory terms somebody who was actually working towards a socialist future. Somebody, I wouldn't say Chavez was, I don't think Venezuela is completely socialist, but certainly was working towards that. I was so upset when Sanders said that about him. The dictator part was what really bothered me, because like you said, they couch these things in terms of democracy, but I met with Chavez one time, and he said that, I think it was the president of Brazil at the time, told Chavez that Chavez has an excess of democracy. There's always elections there, and they've always been certified to be completely legitimate.
Yeah, and that's what's been ironic about recent events especially. So you have, since April, really, the Organization of American States, which represents countries in the Caribbean and Latin America, and includes the United States and Canada. So it's a regional body. It's existed since the 1940s. Really discredited throughout Latin America, especially a history of, for example, completely supporting and actually organizing troops to support the U.S. invasion of the Dominican Republic, turning their head through basically all of Central America's U.S.-sponsored wars, and all of the death and destruction and the disappeared in Argentina, in Chile, really completely United States tool. And then you have, in the last few months, the new general secretary of this organization, a man named Luis Almagro, really proving himself to be a United States puppet. Completely obsessed with Venezuela. If you look over his social media accounts, his public statements, trying to condemn Venezuela for being undemocratic, for violating something that the Organization of American States created, called their Inter-American Democratic Charter. This is something that is a complete affront to, like you said, the democracy that Venezuela has been building for these last 19 years. They have had multiple elections victorious for the Bolivarian Revolution. They've also lost two elections and won just in December of 2015, in which Venezuela now has a majority right-wing opposition National Assembly. And now what Almagro and his friends in the Venezuelan opposition are calling for is elections in Venezuela. Presidential elections are already scheduled for 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's actually against Venezuela's constitution, which, like you said, was decided upon and voted upon by the people, to call these elections early. What the real issue is that the opposition attempted, through constitutional process of a recall referendum, to overthrow President Maduro, and they completely failed. They collected signatures, 30% of which were proven to be very suspicious, to come from dead people without identification, minors. They were unsuccessful in carrying out this referendum, and now they're saying we need elections immediately, so which is actually unconstitutional. So it's actually the right-wing opposition that is undemocratic, that has strangled the National Assembly. Like I said, they control the National Assembly, which has now become an organization that's been incapable of passing any legislation. 15 out of the 16 so-called laws that the National Assembly have passed have been ruled unconstitutional by Venezuela's Supreme Court, because they do things like try and privatize public housing, which is against Venezuela's constitution. So that really needs to be more closely examined as far as the Organization of American States calling, their general secretary calling for invoking the so-called Inter-American Democratic Charter and demands for Venezuela to hold elections immediately.
What happened the other day when President Maduro was calling for Venezuelans to come out and in some kind of armed opposition.
So in April 19th, Nicolas Maduro and the United Socialist Party of Venezuela issued a call of people in Venezuela to the streets to defend the revolution. Venezuela was celebrating a national holiday, and there were fears that the right wing was mobilizing violent protests. Basically, since especially the last 3 weeks, it seems that the opposition is attempting to start what they did in 2014, which were violent street riots known as the Guarimbas. 43 people died during those events. There were street barricades. There were, just really violent riots, essentially, that were calling for the exit, La Salida of Nicolas Maduro. And in order to prevent that from happening again, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro called the people of Venezuela to the streets and did call on a strengthening of militias in Venezuela in defense of the revolution. So I think, from the outside, we have to completely condemn U.S. intervention and understand that the people of Venezuela are mobilizing to defend the gains that they have made through the Bolivarian Revolution under Comandante Hugo Chavez and now today under Nicolas Maduro, and that the threats of violence of the opposition are real and proven. Opposition leaders, of which there are many different factions, have been attacking government institutions regularly, Supreme Court buildings, but also things like the social mission for housing have come under attacks through simple bombs or fireballs, those sort of things. Opposition members have been caught with weaponry. And there was just a recent article that I think is really important talking about evidence that was released of people in Venezuela reporting that they'd been paid large sums of money by different factions of the opposition to actually provoke violence in demonstrations. So the opposition really sees it as in their favor if they can, if people die, if there is, some security officials have died. About 7 people have actually died in the last few weeks. And they really see it as further proof of the undemocratic nature of the government of Nicolas Maduro. And so they'll provoke as much violence as they can during these demonstrations. And I, for one, was really inspired by the mobilization of the people of Venezuela. It was, the masses were out in the streets, and I think very peacefully showed their strength and their support for the revolution in contrast to the violence of the opposition forces.
Well, the opposition in Venezuela, and it might not be exclusive to Venezuela, is very well funded, and they have a lot of media on their side. And not only that, being well funded, because they are the wealthy, usually the wealthy class in Venezuela, but they're also well funded by United States organizations, and it's been proven, USAID and the National Endowment for Democracy and things like that are also funding the opposition. So for the people of Venezuela to still be able to mobilize in a large way against that, to me, is almost like a miracle, because they are fighting against massive forces that want to overthrow the Bolivarian Revolution.
Yeah, it's incredibly inspiring to look at the photos from April 19th. And I think those will continue. I mean, Venezuela has definitely to be on guard. We have many of the faces, for example, that were taking center stage during the 2002 attempted coup against Hugo Chavez. There was a coup attempt that was overturned in only 3 days,
right,
due to the power of the people of Venezuela. Chavez was immediately put back in power, and the Bolivarian Revolution continued. And those same actors that tried to carry out that coup are appearing again and again in Venezuelan media today and out in the streets in Venezuela today. And so that is a very dangerous signal, especially, like you said, because in that 2002 coup attempt, much research has been put out there about the U.S. ties directly with those coup plotters. And so some those same ties can be made today, whether it's, you know, email records of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, or it's simply things like an announcement from the U.S. Southern Command, which is the office that unites all the U.S. military forces in Latin America, who recently, at the same time as the opposition is stirring up destabilization attempts and these protests, is saying things publicly like, Venezuela's relationships with Russia, China, and Iran are now posing a threat to U.S. interests in the region, or that, you know, the situation in Venezuela is going to most likely cause regional intervention in the country. So those aren't veiled threats. Those are quite direct when it comes from the mouth of the U.S. government, and their ties directly to Venezuela's counter-revolutionary opposition are very clear. It's also important to note that Trump has also shown some signs of his continued attacks on Venezuela. There were some statements he said during the election, and now he has talked openly with the presidents of Chile and Brazil. Of course, the president of Brazil is as a result of a coup. Both right-wing governments, and they've talked openly about the situation in Venezuela. He's also met at the White House with the wife of a so-called political prisoner, Leopoldo Lopez, who's the head of one of these far-right political parties in Venezuela. Leopoldo Lopez is in prison because he has committed crimes of violence in Venezuela. He's not a political prisoner, but Trump has met with his wife and actually tweeted, of course, as is his style, calling for the release of political prisoners in Venezuela. So,
what about political prisoners in the United States?
There you go. I mean, the hypocrisy runs deep, as we know. And I know most progressive people have no doubts about Trump, but really understanding that it's the entire U.S. government and all of their, you know, all of their offices and institutions that are really working against Venezuela today to try and overthrow the revolution. And we have to, as people that believe in, you know, in peace, that believe in justice, we really have to work to get the U.S. government to end their intervention and to talk to people about what's happening in Venezuela today.
One of Chavez's biggest mistakes, I think, looking back in hindsight, was that I think he was way too easy on the people who tried to murder him in 2002. He was hours away from being executed or assassinated, and they didn't spend very much time in prison or anything. And I understand why he did it. He wanted to heal. He wanted the country to heal from it. But the blowback to me is not. It's caused more harm, I think.
Yeah, well, like I said, those same faces are back, so it's hard to say these things in retrospect, but it's clear that the counter-revolutionary opposition in Venezuela, the U.S. has found their way to continue supporting them and funding them, and they're not going away. But as we saw, the people of Venezuela are going to keep up their fight, and not only against the opposition, but the people of Venezuela are also finding ways to continue the revolutionary process, to not allow this to stop them from, you know, providing housing, to getting around in some ways the economic war through community organization, and the military has now been tasked with helping to do food distribution and, you know, things. It's a dynamic situation. But it is one that the U.S. has its hands all over, and we have to be vigilant from here in the United States or Canada. Of course, I will say as well that in the Organization of American States, it is the U.S. government, but also Canada, that have come out really leading the joining with these right-wing governments in Latin America to try and condemn Venezuela. And although the Organization of American States and Secretary General Luis Almagro are pretty broadly and widely seen as puppets of the U.S. interests, and I think it is significant to show almost the desperation of the opposition in Venezuela that they have to go and meet with this quite meaningless organization in order to get their opinions heard on the international stage, and they have to directly appeal for international intervention means that they're facing problems in Venezuela that they haven't been able to establish what they want to as far as overthrowing the government without this international help. And they're bold and they're direct, and they, you know, even one member of the opposition who holds some sort of public position, maybe a governor or something, I can't quite remember, he tweeted in the last few days claiming that President Maduro's police forces were using chemical weapons against protesters in Venezuela.
Oh, my God.
Obviously taking... trying to join on this bandwagon of what is happening in Syria today to provoke further U.S. direct intervention, which could come in the form of bombs, as
right.
we saw.
Right. I mean, so, what kind of person would say something like that? The U.S. has just recently bombed Syria with 59 Tomahawk missiles, dropped the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan. That just shows the bankruptcy and evilness of the opposition in Venezuela that would want to provoke something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think they are very bold in that way. And we have to pay attention to these things. And like I said, look at who the Congress is meeting with, their travels to the United States, their meetings with President Trump. I mean, it's in the interest of the United States to overthrow the Bolivarian Revolution, and they're going to continue doing their work in that way until they're victorious or until they're completely defeated. And it's a lot up to the people of Venezuela to continue building their revolution, but we have to do the work here in the United States or in Canada to
they're starving, and there's great hardship, and all over Latin America we've seen a lot of inspiring struggles against capitalism and imperialism, and I mean, they're on the front lines, they're being murdered, you know, union organizers in Honduras, environmental activists, Colombia, we've seen a small right-wing march in some of the governments, but Ecuador recently had a leftish victory.
Yeah, and I think that's significant. I think the ability of Venezuela to continue their building of international relations, like we were talking about in the beginning, this U.S. assault, their determination to overthrow the Bolivarian Revolution, is really to isolate the impact that the Venezuelan revolutionary process has had on Latin America. And so as much as they can to try and infiltrate these regional organizations, they will continue to do. So Venezuela's ability to keep building alliances with Cuba, with Ecuador, to continue building ALBA, the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas. These are significant components of what Venezuela's doing in Latin America and will continue to do.
Well, Alison, we're running out of time. Is there anything you'd like to add that I might not have asked you?
Well, just thank you, Cindy, again. I agree with you a lot. Like, Venezuela is important to inspire people who believe in social justice and in the process towards socialism. It's something that we need to talk about more in media. It's really, I guess, you know, it's a media war against Venezuela. And so independent media like that you promote and build through Soapbox or all of our different connections is really significant to fighting against this media war. The entire capitalist class in Venezuela is uniting with mass media based in the United States and the U.S. government to really lay the land for further U.S. intervention in Venezuela. And that is something, if we look across Latin America, Middle East, Africa, that is characterizes our world today in a lot of ways. The U.S. is looking for more and more places to invade, to take their resources, and we have to join all of our allies together in the struggle against U.S. imperialism.
And the collaborators in Venezuela are traitors. They're traitors to the country, and they're traitors to humanity. Well, Allison, what's your website, and where can my listeners, the Soapbox listeners, get more information?
So to read articles that I have written and research I've been doing on Venezuela, you can go to www.firethistime.net. We're a social justice newspaper based in Vancouver, Canada, and I encourage people to find us at firethistime.net, or you can also find the newspaper on the issue website, or just contact me directly, of course, through Facebook or whatever other means.
Well, Allison Bodine, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox again and for your willingness to help us understand these issues.
Thank you, Cindy, for your time, and thank you to all of your listeners on Soapbox.
Thank you. That's it for this special edition of the Soapbox. I hope you check out Fire This Time and check out more of Allison Bodine's writings and other people who write for the newspaper. And as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, and you for listening and supporting the show. Please go to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox and support the show. And check out my new live show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific at BBS Radio, and my new live show is called The People Speak with Cindy Sheehan. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to The Soapbox. Peace out for now.